Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, Gwen and Chris, hour number two. What is this whole thing with Jaden Daniels and number five? It's getting completely out of control now.
No, it's not.
ESPN just put up here, here's our preseason bottom 10. If Jaden Daniels allows us to have a number five.
He really made a bad PR move.
Did he step his foot in the proverbial poop on this one?
Yes, he did, because everyone, I saw someone saying that the Pentagon is redesigning itself because Jaden Daniels,
it's going to be the hexagon now
for five sides. Like, he is being crushed by everyone.
But is he not himself? No, he just himself has said, I just want to talk about football, or I don't want to talk, or has he doubled down on the whole?
No, he said that his team has some things to work out with LSU about, and so he's focused on football, but his team is doing this.
So his team is, because when this first story came out, remember, I was critical of the kid who wanted to be number five.
Which, by the way, I've learned a lot about that kid. Very, very, very good football player.
Right, he's big time. No, I don't disagree with that. I know he's the greatest player of all time. But the his whole point, though, was that he had to wear number five because he'd worn it his whole life, and he was promised it by the previous coach. So this wasn't even a Lane Kiffin thing. For once, Lane Kiffin was like, leave me alone.
He
didn't do this.
He enjoyed passing the buck on
this
one.
Passed the buck. But he was okay, too, in this case. But the story that was not told, what I pointed out, was the kid asking for number five and demanding it wore number three last year. So it couldn't have been that big a deal.
He did say that.
Right? He wore number three last year, but now all of a sudden he's got to wear number five. Jaden Daniels' mom, who Scraby isn't a big fan of.
No, I'm not.
And if you
let your kid live.
Yeah, if you want to see her in action, watch the show Quarterbacks, because he's one of the quarterbacks.
I won't watch that show now.
Well, I didn't tell you to. I'm saying the people out there, if they want to know, Jaden Daniels is in the show Quarterbacks on HBO Max or whatever one of those is, or Netflix maybe. But yeah, he's one of the quarterbacks profiled, and his mom is his agent.
Yes.
And Scraby thinks she's kind of a helicopter mom who smothers him.
I'm not saying
you're wrong. And in this case, maybe she's the one who made the big deal.
I would think so.
But whatever, Jaden Daniels is just, every time now the number five comes up, it is a chance to rip on Jaden Daniels.
It is.
It's hilarious.
It is. It's insane how many people have caught on to this. It's gone beyond sports.
No, way beyond. Well, we got, this is the 3 o'clock hour. Next, we got the 4 o'clock hour. And then after that, if it's okay with Jaden Daniels, we'll have the five o'clock hour. So we might as well all get in on it at this point. But
Ryan Clark, which I used to like Ryan Clark.
Didn't they get rid of him at ESPN?
They did, but he's had his own podcast for a long time called The Pivot.
Okay.
And he said he doesn't like that people are making fun of Jaden Daniels. Yeah. Well, then don't.
Yeah,
don't
you know what?
Send a cease and desist for something you can't cease and desist.
Well, also, Jaden Daniels ought to have a sense of humor if he can hopefully have one. And maybe he does. Maybe he does. Because he hasn't really said a lot. He's just kind of sat back as all of this has happened. Right? He hasn't come out and said anything.
Yeah, this is fun.
Speaking of ESPN, did you see the other news? I don't know if it's in the Big Five, but I apologize if it is.
It is, I think. Pat McAfee?
Yeah.
Yep, it's in the Big Five.
Well, I can't wait. Because people are boycotting. They say they're going to boycott the Monday Night Countdown.
Really?
Now.
Okay, go ahead. Tell the story.
No, people are saying, I'm not going to watch it.
Well, you haven't told the story.
Because he's on the Monday Night Countdown now.
Yeah, he got put on the Monday Night Countdown with Marcus Spears.
It's a good thing they put Pat McAfee on there, because he's not getting much exposure.
All right,
isn't there a time when you can be overexposed? Even
course.
You say that.
I say it all the time. Yes, this is overexposure. When you're putting him on a Saturday for College Game Day,
right?
You're putting him on Monday for his show and Monday Night Countdown, and then he's on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. He is not on your TV one day a week. Just one. Sunday. But I don't understand.
But on Sundays, doesn't he do like UFC fights and stuff? Or
I honestly do not know what he does on Sunday. But I'm with you. This is too much.
Okay.
It's too much. We don't need it. For some reason, this is going to sound like I'm a hater, but for some reason, people latch on to certain someone every couple of years, and he's the guy.
He's the guy right now. Yeah, you're not a hater because I think Pat McAfee's day in the sun is going to end. I don't think it's going to end badly or tragically or anything. I just think he's one of these guys that's going to be a big part of our world, and then at some point, pretty soon, he just won't be part of it, and no one will really miss him one way or the other.
Well, what did I say yesterday? When you start making music, when you're not a musician, and you think you're a good musician, you have maybe lost the plot a little bit.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes for Pat McAfee. Baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan, presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi. One price, 5 years, guaranteed. Xfinity, imagine that. All right, I had one leftover note on a scorecard, and people were trying to guess what it was. Well, by the way, first of all, Scraby said that some of you agree with a lot of my notes and some of you don't agree with some of them, and that's kind of what they're there for. But if you're going to write in that, hey, Chris, so it's okay for Fernando, or what is it, Francisco, if it's okay for Francisco Alvarez to be aggressive and try to score, but you're going to rip Xander. First of all, it's the first note I've ever seen defending Xander in the history of the Padres. But if you're going to write that and compare those two plays today, you're just basically just next time write in and say, I don't know much about baseball.
I know this person does know about baseball.
Yeah, well, then they're just being critical to be critical then. Because
Xander, it was a completely different situation for me.
Totally
Xander
different.
Stopped running in the middle of going to second base, went back to first for a second, and then went back to second when everybody knew he didn't have the time. Most likely to get to second.
He was lucky. Very lucky. Alvarez, understand that aggressive base running is different when you're ahead than when you're behind. You can't afford to get thrown out when you're behind. Anyway, here's what I wanted to get to. And it was a play in the ninth inning today. And it happened with runners at first and second and the Padres leading 4-1. I want everybody to understand that as soon as the score is 4-1 and Sheets comes up to the plate, the first thing you know, I know, the announcers know, everyone in the ballpark should know, Sheets is the tying run, right? Mm-hmm. He's the guy.
Yeah.
The two runners on base, although they're out there,
they're not that important.
They're not that important. You need to win the game, and in order to win the game, you have to keep Sheets from scoring. Now, if he hits a home run, then he ties it. But he didn't hit a home run. He hit a single to right field. Now, coming around second and scoring on the play was Campusano, I believe. No. I'm sorry, it was the guy before him.
It was...
Whoever got on
Renifo.
Base. Okay, thank you. Renifo. So
Renifo
scores. Campusano easily makes it to third. Okay? Because the ball's hit to right field.
Yeah.
He's got a pretty good jump. It's, you know... The throw from Benj sails over everybody and goes to third base. That shows me that Benj doesn't understand the basics of baseball. And this is something, and you're going to say I'm an old man and I should get off my lawn. I'm going to tell you that baseball should be played correctly. And in this case, throwing to third shows me you don't get it. Because the whole idea after Sheets gets a single is to make sure that he, Sheets, doesn't get to second base in scoring position. He's the tying run. Campusano doesn't matter. Let him score. Let him run out into the outfield. Let him whatever he does, he doesn't matter. All you should care about if you're Benj in that situation is doing everything in your power to make sure Sheets stays at first base. And so what should you do with the ball? Throw it into second base. Make sure he can't move.
It's right there in front of you.
But he threw it to third, and he's lucky that the third baseman, Bichette, made a pretty good short hop, picked up the throw, didn't allow it to bounce away, and Sheets never did get to second base. And guess what happened? The double play stayed in order. You won the game. But these are the things, the little nuances of baseball that show me And it's not fair to group everybody in because I really shouldn't. But it shows me a lot of the young guys coming up don't really get it. And I know that people can say, well, he's a rookie. He's been playing the game since he's been 6 years old. You don't let the tying run get to second base. That is an easy one, whether you're a rookie or not. And that throw by Benj. Now, hopefully Andy Green, you know, is able to.
Future Mets manager Andy Green?
You're right. I don't even know if you're allowed to say anything anymore to these players. You know what I mean? Like, can Andy Green say, hey,
yes,
next time make sure we got to keep that runner at first base?
If Andy Green doesn't say that, then he's not doing his job.
I know, but I wonder if you're even allowed to. Because I don't know Benj at all. But I'm just saying, in this day and age, I could see a ball player going, get out of here. I make 10 times more than you do.
It's not that far gone yet.
Yeah, I hope not.
It's not that far gone. Sam Levitt actually texted me in the last break predicting what you were going to talk about. And he said, although I think Chris needs to get off Fernando's case, I do agree with him that you are right. He should have thrown it to second, and that was a bad play by Benj.
It's a really bad play. It just is. This is not old man on the lawn. I do some of my stuff's old man on the lawn, like, hey, Fernando, run. Which, again, I don't even understand why I have to defend that, but, I do. But this is not even an old man thing. This is just common baseball sense. So, Padres, unfortunately, it didn't matter. Padres hit into the double play, blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah,
but
blah,
I just
blah.
Don't like bad baseball. All guests on the SDCCU fan hotline, not Big Bank Banking, it's better. Kirk Kenny will appear on that hotline in about 20 minutes. And if you're an Aztec football fan, like I am, you're going to want to listen to this interview because apparently the Boomer Sooners don't want to come to San Diego and play at Snapdragon Stadium, even though they've agreed to do so.
Yeah, which so is really weird.
This is not surprising to me, Scraby. This is what's happening in college football. The SEC, the Big 12, Big 10, they want to break away and be their own world. They do, and sometimes they kind of say it. Sometimes they say, not really. I believe that's what they want. They want their own world. The Big 12 would like to think they can join them. The ACC would love to be invited, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think you're going to have, 16 SEC teams and I don't know how many Big 10 teams now, 18, 19, I can't keep track.
10.
But I think those 34 teams, they might add three or four from here and there, and it's going to be the new world order of college football. And the Aztecs and the rest of us are going to play in another world. And that might be okay. Maybe that'll just be better once we get used to it. But I'd like to believe that all of college football could coexist. But I'm not seeing that happening.
Yeah.
I'm going to be right. Oh. You don't want me to be right, kind of, but you know it's headed in this direction.
No. I know it's going this direction. And you said it yesterday. I've been thinking about this a lot lately, but college football is just not something I'm interested in anymore. Like, I will watch the Aztecs. I like going to the games.
Yes, no, I like.
But when they don't have a real shot at a national title, like, the rest of college football doesn't interest me.
We don't even have a shot to compete for it. Let's be straight.
That's
even
what I'm saying.
Even if we went 12-0 and won and got the number 11 seed, we're not. I mean, who are we kidding? You saw the game between, who was it last year? Oregon and...
James Madison.
James Madison, and then there was another one.
Yeah, I can't remember
Temple
the
or somebody got in there. Oh, Tulane.
Tulane, yes.
It wasn't even, come on. Those are different games. Those are different people.
See, it's
too bad. It's too bad, because I like college football. I love when Appalachian State could beat Michigan. And, this was the charm of the sport. But the charm's gone, man. And these big schools, they want all of the money, and they're going to get it.
I know I complain about people and greed and all that stuff a lot, but this is the byproduct of greed.
It is.
And it's turning something in that they don't even really do, by the way. They don't play football. They're not the product. They turned it into something that they can make more money on, and so this is the way it's going. And it's not good for anyone except for the people we're making the money, I guess.
Yeah, there's a nice article here if you were interested by Kyle Bonagura from ESPN. And he talks about the new Pac-12 and what it is and where it slots in and kind of what it's all about. And I think the headline says it all. The rebuilt Pac-12 looks like it's in a, quote, tier of its own. And it is. It's kind of in no man's land.
It is.
It's not the SEC, Big Ten. It's not the Big 12 or ACC. Hopefully it's better, and it should be, than the Mountain West and the America Conference. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it looks like it's just kind of there. It's kind of hanging in
limbo?
Is that? Limbo's good. Well, I was going to say, so what's that place where you go? Goodness.
What happens when you go to this place?
When you get old, it's where you wait to before you get sent to heaven or hell.
It's limbo.
There's another word for it. It starts with a P, and I can't think of what it is.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, somebody will have it. Somebody will give it to me. Anyway, you guys are all going to get old out there, and you'll understand what I'm going through. We got to take a break. When we come back, though, congrats to... Well, we'll tell you who congrats go to, but the new announcer. Oh, that's right. I got a little more time. Sorry. Okay, the word was right on the tip of my tongue.
I'm looking for it too, and I'm not. Purgatory. There
thank
it is.
You. Thank you. I knew somebody would get
oh,
it.
Oh, wow.
Us.
This is a cool name. The Dealio. The Deal. Leo. So it's their name. Sorry.
Thank you for getting me the word purgatory. But that's where I don't know if the purgatory is right. Limbo might be a better description of where the Pac-12 is. But we're just kind of in the hanging there and see where we're going to go. And I already told you, the first salvo that could be fired by the Pac-12, not saying it will be, but the very first week of the season, you have Boise State playing number 2 Oregon. You have Washington State playing top 20 Washington. You have Oregon State playing top 20 Houston. And then you have Texas State playing number 7 Texas. But
come on, Texas State.
Yeah, right. If they win 2 or 3 of those games, then you could immediately say, hey, we're on this. That could be big.
That could be big.
But
it's
not going to happen.
You know
it's
that.
Not going to happen.
I mean,
you're going to get wiped out in all 4 games, probably.
I don't think Texas State has much of a chance,
yeah.
But I think the other teams do. Boise State is not a bad team.
No, they're usually pretty good. But Oregon's number 2 in the nation, and Dan Lanning's going to be running it up.
I can't stand
that
guy.
Can't stand that smug guy.
You know, for some reason, my social media gives me clips of him, and I don't want them.
What do you get? Oh, man. Even I don't have to be subjected to that.
You get subjected to Manny and double plays and all that stuff and not hustling. I get subjected to Dan Lanning over and over and over. By the way, we do have Chris versus the fans today. Chris, are you ready to play? Because... You were mopping the floor with the fans last week.
Okay.
It wasn't good.
Well, it worked out.
We're going to play for Luke Combs tickets today.
Luke Combs tickets later today. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I just wanted to look at one. Okay, we got to finally get to take our break here.
New
but
clock.
I just want to remind Dan Lanning fans and remind Dan Lanning. I don't think he ever gets dragged through the mud enough. He lost to Indiana last year in the playoff 56-22. It was embarrassing.
It was, yeah.
The only thing more embarrassing was the way they lost to Ohio State the year before, 41-21, but that game was like 41-0 at halftime. His teams have been embarrassed in both playoffs. He seems to get, he's like, what is the old Teflon thing? Oh, Dan Lanning's great. Okay.
He does get that treatment.
Yeah. There's a lot of coaches that if they lost like that, the old saying would be, oh, they can't boo in the big one.
Can you imagine if Steve Sarkisian?
Right?
Steve Sarkisian's always under pressure.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. Very good. When we come back, we're going to celebrate the best baseball announcers in the country. I think you know who they are, but we'll... confirm it for you when Gwen and Chris continue.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Continues.
Fly ball to right field. To the corner goes Fernando. At the wall, he lives it.
Not only was that an incredible play, maybe the best defensive play of the year in Major League Baseball yesterday, but it was called by the best broadcast duo in the game. Welcome back to Gwen and Chris on a Wednesday. Tony Gwynn Jr. With the Padres. They're coming back after a very frustrating, we've been talking about it all day, 4-2 loss to the Mets. But Don Orsillo... and Mark Grant are once again voted the number one broadcast duo in all of Major League Baseball by the website Awful Announcing. First of all, I just want to say, and I'm sure that they understand this, this is still always going to be a little difficult to do in the sense of, is somebody in North Carolina voting for Don Mudd?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Right. So we don't know exactly how this works, but it's not, I don't think it's a popularity contest, because if it was, I don't think San Diego would be beating out the likes of New York and some of these other places. So I don't want to take anything from Don and Mudd at all. They're the greatest. I love them, but I also don't listen to the other 29 broadcasts on a regular basis.
Yeah,
so
not on a regular
it is hard
basis.
To compare. So we kind of have to take announcing Awful Announcing's word for it. But they are number one, and that's awesome. It's the second year in a row that they finished atop the rankings. 88% of those who voted gave them either an A, a B, or a C. What's it with the other 12% who gave them a D or an F? Just throwing that in.
Dodger fans,
yeah, maybe so. They got 52%, so more than half of the people voted them an A. That's pretty impressive.
That is.
But it also shows you that 48% don't think they're an A. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can never win as a broadcaster. There's always somebody who's not going to like you.
Yeah.
But I think they're the best, and they get honored again. We should mention Jesse, Tony, Bob Scanlon. They're all part of this broadcast. Mary Lou's. And I want to put Sammy in because he's our post pregame and pregame guy. I don't know. He's not on the TV,
no,
but they're all part of it. They're all part of it. Congratulations to those guys. You might be interested in knowing who else is on the tip-top list.
Yeah, who's the top three?
Number two is the Giants.
They
have some
me.
Really good guys. Dwayne Kuiper, Dave Fleming's great.
Yeah.
John Miller might be the best of all of everybody.
Kruko.
Kruko is going to retire, mm-hmm. but that isn't...
Their vote is going to take a hit once Kruko retires.
We'll see. Number three is a booth that I've heard a lot of and I really like. And that's the Mets. Gary Cohen, Keith Hernandez, and Ron Darling.
They're good.
I think Gary Cohen's one of the tip-top. So, and I've always rooted for Gary Cohen ever since the spat with Michael Kay. You talk about an insecure guy. Remember Michael Kay?
Well, I do.
My booth is way better than their booth. Whatever, Michael. it kind of frustrated me a little to see that Michael Kay was rated in the, I believe he's in the four spot. Let me see. I'm scrolling on my phone, which doesn't. Yeah, Michael Kay got the four spot.
Really?
So,
I'm surprised it's that high. I've listened to some
too.
Michael Kay games, and
I don't think
a fan.
He's very good. I'm not a fan, but maybe it's because of the attitude that I know behind the scenes. This kind of bothers me. After that, a lot of these are going to be tough for you to even recognize unless you've been to those cities a lot. The Cubs, John Shambi is in the number five spot. Number six is the Phillies, and
oh yeah,
we go down the road. Jason Benetti, our old friend Jason mm-hmm. Benetti, in the seventh spot now with the Tigers. Remember, we introduced—I don't want to say we introduced the world to Jason Benetti. He was introduced to the world on CBS this morning because of the disability that he has overcome and the incredible spirit of this guy. And we brought him on our air and talked about it, and he was just tremendously gracious. And now he's. Become just, yeah, never mind whatever, handicapable thing that he suffers from. And what was it, Scrape? I don't really remember.
I'm not going to yell out something.
You want to say the wrong thing, but he's really overcome a lot of stuff to be what he is. Well, that's one of the best broadcasters in the game. Dan Shulman is very good.
Cerebral palsy,
yeah. But Jason Benetti is a great inspiration. Dan Shulman and the Blue Jays with eighth. I don't want to go. Here's one thing I don't like about this list at all. I think that they should do a top 10, and I think they should cut it.
Then someone's ranked 30th?
Yeah, I don't
who
think somebody.
Wait, did you just say? Sorry.
No, I didn't say who it is.
Who is it?
I don't want to say because I don't like it. I don't like the ranking at all, and I think it's rude. I think it's absolutely flat-out rude to rank somebody the worst baseball broadcast. And I will tell you, the one that's ranked 30th You and I have had both of these people on, and I love them both to death.
I see it. I mean, we could say it.
I say it.
It's the A's booth, Dallas Braden and Jenny Kavner. I know Jenny Kavner has taken a lot of heat from people. I love Dallas Braden.
First of all, Dallas Braden's fantastic. Second of all, Jenny Kavner is a trailblazer and deserves a ton of credit for doing what she does in a man's world and doing it damn well. And I don't like the fact that Awful Announcing can stick a ranking like that with her. And
they do defend her in the paragraph.
Okay, well, that doesn't, but most people aren't going to read the paragraph. They're just going to see the ranking.
It says that a lot of this may just be because she's a woman in a job that's considered a man's job.
Yeah, I think it's too bad.
I didn't consider it.
And I will also say the 29th ranked is really wrong. Because Drew Goodman and the Rockies broadcast, the team is horrible.
See,
but Drew Goodman is fantastic.
This is where I think what you were talking about earlier comes in, because I looked up how they vote. It's just people around the country. So
how do they even know, really?
If Rockies fans aren't on Awful Announcing, they're not voting. So it's like, it's a fan vote, really.
Right. You have to take it all with a grain of salt. But Don and Mudd deserve to be where they are, no question. Drew Goodman is that and a bag of chips. He's that good. The team is horrendous, but that has nothing to do with his ability to call a baseball game. Anyway, those are your rankings. Congrats to the champs again. 2 years in a row.
That's good. Very exciting.
And I did see a tweet come out from Don Orsillo already thanking everybody who voted for him. And I'm sure Mark Grant has something out there similar because these guys appreciate you guys. And, you know, they do have just a way about them, don't they?
Uh-huh.
They make you feel welcome. When the team is terrible, you don't mind it. When the team's good, they don't annoy you. You know what I mean? A lot of people, when their team's winning, they're kind of annoying. They're like, we're so good. But these guys just do a good, solid job every time. They really do. So
I'm looking through some of these rankings.
Yeah.
And I do go from place to place sometimes watching baseball on MLB.tv.
Oh, right. Yeah, so that's true. Nowadays, you can watch more of the out-of-town stuff.
But I am happy to say the Dodgers broadcast, 14th.
Oh, yeah, pretty far down there.
I'm surprised.
I am, too. Joe Davis.
I'm not a fan of Joe Davis, but I just figured they would be top five.
First of all, I'm a fan of Joe Davis. Secondly, I think a lot of the dislike for Joe Davis is not his fault. He's the national number one broadcaster, so he's obviously doing games where your team is playing the Dodgers.
Yeah.
So you hate him.
That's true.
That's not his fault.
That is an association.
He has no choice but to call the game. Right? But so I think a lot of people dislike him for that, and I don't think that's fair. I've always said the same thing about Joe Buck. I think Joe Buck's fantastic, incredible, so good. But, you know, people thought Joe Buck is always favoring one team or the other, and it's ridiculous. Now, in Joe Davis, you could maybe say, but...
Because he actually does work for the Dodgers.
He does, but he can't help that. And I think that he does a very solid job most times on being pretty even. I'll talk to a Padre fan who will say, Chris, you're an idiot. He totally favors the Dodgers. So it's just how you look
at it.
You're that guy. Okay.
I don't think he favors the Dodgers, but I do think he gets more excited when the Dodgers do something great.
That would just not be acceptable.
And McKee has a comment that I think is very true. There are way worse male announcers, and those guys seem to get a pass, which I get. Jenny Kavner doesn't get the pass. She gets all the criticism and she gets all the attention, which is unfair because there are some pretty bad male announcers out
there. Some are not good. All right, yeah. So I'm going to stick up for Jenny, you know, that until, you know, the end of time.
And Me too.
I think she needs to be saluted, and I think putting her in a 30 spot is just not cool. Didn't like that.
Hey, she's one of 30 play-by-play people.
Yeah, I know. And you know what? But you can't help but see that somewhere, and it's got to hurt.
Just got to brush it off.
Could you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because then I would think, well, some random guy from Sheboygan, Wisconsin hates me, so he's voting against me.
Yeah.
I understand why you would think it would hurt your feelings, for sure. It might hurt my feelings, but I wouldn't let it ruin my day.
It's hurting my feelings.
Well, don't let it hurt your feelings.
It's hurting my feelings, voted in there.
We're defending Jenny. It's okay.
Yes, we are. And we're going to continue to do it as Gwen and Chris continues.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so we're back. 3:41. Chris Ello, Scraby. We are in the Bill House studios. We know how. Tony Gwynn Jr. coming on back with the Padres after a frustrating 4-2 loss to the Mets. Frustrating enough that I've been like mad about it for an hour and 41 minutes now. But we'll get away from all of that for the moment. Quick reminder, though, tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., Roundtable, Padre Roundtable. We'll talk about everything. Tony will be part of the crew tomorrow.
Yes, he will.
And then he'll be in studio with us later in the afternoon. All right, right now, joining us on the SDCCU fan hotline, it's not big bank banking, it's better. We know him. We love him. We can't live without him. Hello, Kirk Kenny. How are you?
Hey, guys, I'm great. Beautiful blue sky out there today and, you know, typical great day in San Diego.
Yeah, it's rough. It's got to be rough for the old Aztecs. Why are you laughing?
I'm laughing because
you said the word blue?
Yes. And
I knew you were.
And there's a spot on the station.
Never mind, Kirk Kenny. He's got a crazy mind sometimes. All right, let's get to what's going on, Kirk. Your article yesterday in the paper, or 2 days ago in the paper, headline, SDSU could be losing matchups with Power 4 opponents. The first one that jumps out to mind, everybody, is Oklahoma, which is on the schedule in 27 and in 2031, both of those games on the road. But, you know, to me, really kind of a big deal, 2029 would be that Oklahoma comes here. And getting these two-for-ones with the big schools is not easy to get in the first place. And you got one with Oklahoma. It would, you know, bring a lot of excitement. And now the gap is growing between these haves and have-not schools. And apparently some of the Power Four programs are trying to get out of some of these games. So why don't you give me kind of an update where it stands and the Aztecs in Oklahoma, where that stands as of now?
Well, from this side, it's still pretty cloudy. That series was announced back in 2022, and it's like, wow, that's a pretty good get.
Yeah.
But obviously a few things have changed across the college football landscape the last few years. So last week, Oklahoma announced that it had switched up a couple games, that it had added a week zero game for next season with Utah State, and it moved a date with SMU. And then it didn't mention this in their release, but other media back in Oklahoma, as well as I think a couple national media, said, and they still have one open non-conference date. Well, that would have been San Diego State. So that brought into question what's up with the Aztecs. And the Aztecs officially haven't said much, and I think they're still working behind the scenes on something. I don't know exactly what, but those games are definitely in jeopardy with Oklahoma and then also other Power Fours, Missouri and Arizona State. What's happened is some of these conferences have gone to nine conference games, and you know some of these matchups were scheduled 4, 6, 8 years in advance, and when there were four non-conference games. So now they have to get one off the schedule, or they're also looking at, with an eye on the playoff, scheduling Power Four non-conference games to boost up their schedule for the committee.
Yeah, right, to get recognized for the playoff. All right, here's my general statement. College football has really saddened me, but I also know that it is like a tidal wave of greed that is pouring over us, and whether we like it or not, I don't know there's a whole lot we can do about it. The Power Fours, and really, Kirk, the Power Two, which I believe the SEC and the Big Ten, I think even the Big 12 and the ACC lag behind those two. But a school like Oklahoma is now in the SEC. And as you said, they're going to have nine conference games now. They don't want to share any of their revenue or money with anybody else. They don't need to. And I would imagine, I don't know what the deal was with San Diego State as far as, you know, how do you get out of it if you want to. But I'm pretty sure whatever it is, they could afford it.
Right.
And the Aztecs probably couldn't do a whole lot about it. Like, if it was, I was the Aztecs, I'd be like, no, we don't accept. But I don't know if they even could do that.
At least they're going to get something. I remember 20-some years ago, Arizona State backed out of a baseball series with the Aztecs, and there was nothing in the contract language that said, no, you can't do that, and there was no compensation if they did do it.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get the contract. We'll see what the buyout is. But obviously, like you said, you know, Oklahoma will just look under one couch cushion and say, here you go, and then they'll be on it, whoever they want.
One couch cushion.
That's true.
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong. We're talking to Kirk Kenny, San Diego Union Tribune. I've been thinking about this for a long time, but I don't know that it will ever happen. I'm curious to see if you ever think it will happen. But when is college football or college sports just going to become its own professional league, and then they get all of the kids before they go to the NFL? It's kind of like a minor league. When do you think that's going to happen? Because it seems
Isn't
like
it happening now.
Seems like it's heading towards that way.
I think you missed the memo. It was in 1993.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you don't think anybody's been getting paid?
I see what you're saying. Basically, what my question was, yes, I boxed that question up. My question was, like, it's not college sports anymore to me. It is professional sports to me. So when are they going to drop the school part?
Why don't they just say it's professional sports?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's a great question, and I've joked about it in different ways. Like, how far are we from where it says San Diego State on their jersey, but they're not actually students? They're just paid to be there, just like a janitor or a professor or something else, right?
No, you're not wrong. Yeah. Yeah, it's I'll be honest with you, I'm very saddened by it. I know that the world changes, all right, so I get it. But I mean, I do long for the days when there was just a little spirit behind college sports, and man, it just seems long gone. All right, so what do the Aztecs think? What did the Pac-12 think? I read an interesting column today, Kirk. The headline was something like, the Pac-12 is in kind of a tier of its own, which kind of got me thinking, maybe that is where we start out. Like, we're not a power four, but hopefully we're ahead of some of the other conferences. What are we looking to accomplish this year as a Pac-12? And then are the Aztecs trying to, you know, be part of all of this?
One thing that popped in my mind a few weeks ago, a comparison was, you know those guys, they're better than AAA, but they're not quite good major leaguers, and they're like 4A?
Yeah, 4A.
I think what the Pac-12 is.
Yeah.
Mm. Now, I think Boise State's going to be really good. I think the Aztecs have a potential to be very good. From there, we'll see. There was a media poll that the Aztecs were picked for second behind Boise State, followed by Fresno State and Texas State. So we'll see. I do think they're going to be better than most of the other Power Six conferences. I think the biggest challenge will be in the AAC again. But yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see which of those conferences gets the automatic berth.
Yeah, right, for the automatic berth. And you're right. The automatic berth, I guess, is the holy grail, right, for a San Diego State.
Yeah.
There's that one little nugget of hope that they put out there and say, hey, you can reach and grab for it.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Right,
yeah, exactly.
And I can't say I wouldn't like to get it if I was the Aztecs. Of course you would, but I mean, God, you're going to go 12-0, and you know, then you have to win every game, and there's so many little innuendos. It's kind of crazy, you know, the odds of getting all of that. I don't know, man. College sports it's bugging me, Kirk. It's bugging me. How's J.D. Wicker handling all of this? I know he wants to be positive in every way and sell his school, but it's got to be tough and frustrating behind the scenes sometimes.
One thing is, they deal with it so much day to day. I don't know how much, and also especially the coaches, they're so good at just focusing on what they can control.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we sit around talking about all this stuff. We have no control over it whatsoever. Why are we wasting breath on something that we just get frustrated by? But I know exactly how you feel, because over the last 2 years, there was a day 2 years ago where I thought they were going to lose all their top guys in the portal, and it's like, what's the point? Somehow they managed to keep most of them, but this past year they lost a couple key guys like Trey White. But I'll tell you what, I think they got more talent in than they lost.
I mean, That's something I think that San Diego State does well. Yes. They recruit really well. Basketball, football.
Yeah, the women's basketball team is starting to benefit from all of the transfers now.
Because there are spots.
Yes, they get more than they lose now. So that is good.
Cole says on the chat, a guy could go to four different schools and go to four different alumni days. And it's true. It's kind of crazy that you can play for four different teams. But coming up this year, though, something I haven't even thought about in a long time until I knew we were going to talk to you. Any issues with the ticket prices heading into the year?
They lowered them.
I know.
They lowered them. Well, they've also done a few things. They have what's called a family four-pack for $76 for the six games. They're offering that, and that's a really good deal, and it includes parking.
Wow, so that's $76 with parking?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to park at my house and walk down, but you do get parking. I'm only like 6 miles away, so hey. Yeah,
they're doing a few things to try and attract more people.
They're doing some things. The overall schedule, again, you can't control it. How are they doing on the sales, and what are you hearing? I know, you know, the first game is Portland State. I don't know that that's a name that, you know, brings anybody to the table, but, I mean, it's the opening game. Texas State, James Madison. They didn't necessarily luck out, at least in the conference games, in my mind, Kirk. James Madison sounds like a great game. They were in the playoff last year, but I still wonder, is that resonating with people?
The funniest thing about that is their coach in the offseason went to UCLA, and he took, a dozen or more players with him. I've been calling it the week two, they're going to play James Madison's A team, and week three, they're playing James Madison's B team.
Oh, that's right. They're playing UCLA also, but that's going to be up there, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Texas State, Fresno State, Washington State, and Utah State are the other home games. I think it's going to be fun. And I'll tell you what, they have more talent on offense than I've seen in a while. And I think the offense, is really ready to really come together and could be really fun to watch.
Their defense was really quite good last year. Chris Johnson's my new hero now that he's captaining the Miami Dolphins defense. He's like the only player they have, the poor guy. But give me just a quick update on the quarterback, Daniels, and then
Senegal.
Senegal, yeah. I mean, it was incredible, Denegal. The bowl game.
Jaden Denegal. Yeah.
Oh, what did I say? Jaden. I want to say Jaden Daniels, but he's
Senegal.
Number five.
You said about four different names, and you were coming close.
I'm sorry.
Jaden Denegal.
Isn't the quarterback Mark Halda?
So Denegal's back, and he had off-season surgery. He's healthy, and confidence is very high that he'll play at an even better level this year. But what I'm most excited about. They moved Bert Emanuel Jr. from quarterback to wide receiver.
Oh, he was the guy that ran crazy in the bowl game. Yeah.
He in the scrimmage last week, he looked tremendous. He was making these athletic catches, and also he's been clocked. He's the fastest player on the team. They put these GPS things kind of between their shoulder blades when they go out to practice, and it tracks all these different metrics. He was the fastest player on the team at 23.2 miles an hour.
Jeez. That's Kirk Kenny speed right there.
Yeah,
don't laugh. Kirk Kenny's fast.
Are you fast, Kirk?
Yes, he is. He is.
Not now.
Not now, but he was back in the good old days.
He runs to Chick-fil-A every day, so that's
fine. All right, that's funny. Yeah, how about Lucky Sutton? Is Lucky Sutton going
to
get a Heisman vote? Can we ever get him to the Marshall Faulk stage, or is that ship sailed?
I think he's in for a big year. It's just a matter of, will the people across the country pay attention? But they have a lot of weapons. They have another running back. He's a transfer from Colorado State named Javon Kennard, and he's got a little wiggle to him. And I think he's kind of a really good counterpunch to Lucky Sutton. And so I'm interested to see how that produces more offense as well.
Aztec football, September 5th, right, Kirk? First game?
That is correct.
All right, so you'll keep us up to date on this Oklahoma thing, but I'll tell you one thing. I'm a big fan of the Boomer Sooners, but if they do this to us, they're going to forever be known as the Bummer Sooners, and that's it. They've lost me forever. So
yeah, I'm sure they're really kind of worried about that.
I don't care. They better worry about it because I can create a mean argument. Thanks, Kirk.
Do you like calling them the Boomer Sooners because you identify with the first word in that?
No, I'm just fine with the second word. I'm old enough to have been an actual Sooner who came across the country okay. back in the 1700s.
Fair enough.
Thanks, Kirk.
I'll let you guys argue off the air.
Yes, sir. Kirk Kenny with the update, Aztec football. Gwen and Chris. And Chris versus the fans, 833-288-0973. Big time tickets today to Luke Combs.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.